Blog Talk Radio.
Well, aloha, folks, and welcome to PWT Talks NXT. I'm your host. I'm Kelly Wells. You can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or SpookyMilk.games. This is PWT Talks NXT for August 31st, 2021, as we continue to... I don't know if we're marching towards a different NXT or if we're already there. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to believe here, if lots of major changes are yet to come or if we're kind of settling into that already, because we certainly did see some more – they're matriculating more acts onto this show that you can tell are long-term WWE projects. But that is what that is. My day, folks. Since you asked, I met Road Warrior Hawk's daughter. Like, I had a long conversation with her, and because she came into my store and started talking wrestling. And I know Hawk's career very well. Like, not just the Road Warrior stuff, but what he did with Kensuke Sasaki in Japan. And she was very impressed at the amount of stuff I knew. If I somehow get really nice tickets to a WWE show in the future, don't be surprised, because we talked about that. Nate Lindberg, who are you?
A little jealous. I'm Nate Lindberg, and you can find me on Twitter at Nate Lindberg, and I do the hits and misses for NXT. I will have that up on the website for you guys a little bit later tomorrow. I've got it written. I just want to do some proofreading and make sure it's not terrible, and then I'll post it up. But That's really cool, though. So, get to actually like talk with her for quite a while about Hawk. Like, that's really cool. Not something you'd expect to do when you woke up this morning, I'm sure.
That's actually what I was just going to say. At like 10 o'clock, I'm like, okay, I've got to start work. At 11 o'clock, I am typing the words Hawk's daughter into my phone as a new contact. So there you
go. Wow.
Well, real name, and then Hawk's daughter underneath in the row where it says, like, company name or whatever. Because I don't ever remember who anyone is, but now I'll remember who she is. Anyway, let's go to the main event. Let's go to Tommaso Ciampa versus Ridge Holland. This one went 12:01. We did have the split screen commercial towards this one, in this one. The entirety of Ridge's heel faction was out there. Pete Dunne's heel faction, I think. Oni Lorcan, Danny Burch. You would think that they would interfere during Willow's Bell, but they did not. Ciampa wins this match, fighting from underneath most of the time, but he gets the win on Ridge. Not that I'm begging for disqualification finishes, but it was a little funny that the heels did not break this up, but then attacked immediately afterwards. And after the attack, then we got MSK making the save to a mostly good reaction. There's still the whatever in the crowd, and it's tiresome, who just really, really want to boo these guys for whatever reasons that they have. But yes, to set up the MSK versus Burch and Lorcan match that will happen next week. And we also got that mostly set up in a match or in a segment earlier in the show with MSK saying that they want to give Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch a shot. And I thought that was cool of them in kayfabe. And then William Regal saying, this is very noble. I was going to strip them of their rematch opportunity because of what they did last week, which I also thought was a nice touch. But if you want this match, then it's back on, and consider it next week. So that's your main event, Nate. You guys can call us at 515-605-9345 or email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. And we'll put you on the show, or we will read your email, Nate, on the main event.
All right, so main event. I enjoyed the main event. It was okay. So I was really expecting interference here from this unnamed faction. God, I wish they'd come up with a name so we didn't have to say like some random faction. But, you know, Pete Dunne's faction here, I really did. I expected some interference from them throughout the course of the match, especially where the big story was Timothy Thatcher was, you know, supposedly injured last week and he wasn't going to be here, you know, indefinitely is what they're saying. Whether this is a worked injury or not, I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't heard anything in particular saying he's injured. So I'm assuming it's worked. But, yeah, I figured where that was kind of the story of the match, we were going to see something like that. Obviously, we didn't. And I'm okay with that. I wanted to see a – you know, I like seeing actual definitive finishes here in matches, which is fine by me. However, it did kind of seem like this would have been the perfect time to pull out some sort of a swerve like that. I was really – as much as I wanted to see Ciampa win this match, because, I mean, Tommaso's my guy – I really expected Hollins to go over here. I mean, he's recently returned. They're really kind of pushing him as a monster heel right now. Kind of, I'm assuming, in charge of this faction. If not in charge of the faction, like the supreme muscle, if Dunn's the one that's actually in charge of the faction, I'm not sure. But he definitely has that imposing presence about him that he's a very important part of that group. So I was expecting Holland to go over here. However, I feel like he still looked pretty strong, even in defeat. He got quite a bit of offense in against Ciampa. Ciampa also looked pretty good as well. I feel like he needed a singles win too. I feel like it's been a while since he's had a singles win. I'd have to look at a list of his matches or whatever. But I felt like it's been a while since he had a singles win. So it's kind of nice to see that. MSK coming out. I had a feeling somebody was going to come out and help out Ciampa. I didn't really know who. And MSK makes the most sense, I think, because of the title stuff going on with Dunn's faction there, and Birch and Lorcan. I'm okay with it. I don't feel like there was like a whole lot of development here tonight, and I kind of have a feeling that. That might be the case going forward for the next couple few weeks. I felt like last week there wasn't a whole lot of development on the show. This week there's a little bit, but not a whole heck of a lot of development on the show. I feel like we're in a holding pattern right now until whenever it is. Is it September 14th? No, I think it's September 14th is the index thing. Whenever it is that they're going to be launching this new NXT logo and the rebrand and all of that. I feel like, you know, kind of going back to what you're saying at the top of the show, Kelly, you know, are we in that reset right now or are we waiting for that reset? And I personally am in the camp of we're waiting for that reset. I feel like once we get, you know, that new, awesome, colorful 90s Nickelodeon logo, once we finally get that and an arena reset and all of that, I think is when we'll see a full kind of show reset. Because I don't feel like this week or last week was presented much differently than, with the exception of the few things that you outlined, you know, like using some more NXT projects and things like that. But I don't feel like it was massively, massively different than what we have come to expect on Tuesday night. So I'm curious. I'm really curious to see what happens once we get that rebranding, we get this new logo, and kind of go from there. I don't really have much more to say about the main event. It was a good match. I certainly enjoyed it. I think it might have been my match of the night, which there's another one that's in contention with. I certainly enjoyed it and looking forward to seeing where this goes.
And I'm in the camp that we are there. I really, really don't think there are going to be major changes to come. I think we're kind of seeing the show we're going to see, even though aesthetically things might change. I don't see it as like 90s Nickelodeon at all. I think I see it kind of like aughts spray paint street Tony Hawk pro skater, kind of like that's what I'm seeing. Like I don't see the children
thing
like
late all. 90s late 90s yeah
yeah I guess but yeah, like a lot of the people saying kid stuff online, I'm like, I don't see that. It's just colorful, and I guess that's what they're thinking because NXT's been so brooding for so long. But I don't know. That's I guess we will find out in a couple of weeks. Let us go to the phone lines to our friend Darrell for a few questions. Oh, yes, by the way, Tom Stout not here this week because a profoundly lazy man, that Tom. I'm kidding. He's out with an illness. No, it is not that one. Yes, I can understand why you'd think it was that one because he does live in Florida. But no, we are hoping to see Tom back here next week. So let's go to Darrell. Darrell, how are you doing? And what did you think tonight?
How you doing today, Kelly and Nate? How y'all guys doing today?
Doing good, man.
Yes, a good day,
sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm with you, Kelly. I don't think too much of has been too many changes. I don't think it's going to be too many more changes. I think we got what we got, and we're just going to see more changes when it comes to recruiting and the look and feel of the show. Outside of that, I don't think it's no major changes on how they book the show or bring you the show. A couple of points that I would like to make, and I want to start off with my NXT UK guy, and that's Ilya. I like the promo that he gave. I'm happy that they gave him an opportunity to celebrate his win in front of fans. I think that's big, and big for him to build him up as someone when they finally bring him over. And I like that he teased that he will be back real soon. So I like all of that. And I'm just hoping that as he defends this title, it builds him up and that title up and get more eyes on that show. And when he comes back over, they have a lineup ready for him because the gas tank that he has, whoever the champion is, they're going to have a big gas tank. If not, then you can see him with that title for a long time. How did you guys like the promo? And that's it. That's the first question I have.
I like the touch of Ilya even getting some mic time. But, of course, why not? I mean, he's still here. He, in reality, had only wrestled the match a few nights before because all this stuff was taped on the Monday and Tuesday right after or perhaps Tuesday and Wednesday, Monday and Tuesday, right after TakeOver. So it's kind of funny. Ilya got that injury above his right eye the Tuesday go-home show into TakeOver. But now he's still got that there, and it looks like a very recent injury. So it just looks like the completely unhealing eye injury. But yes, that was weeks ago. This one was taped a couple of weeks ago. So I like that he got the mic time, and it's cool that they're making this attempt to grow the NXT UK base. And they've done it kind of a little bit in the past, but it's been more indirect where they bring somebody over, but it always looks like they're bringing them over for that talent's benefit and not the benefit of either of the shows necessarily. It's just more cross training, working with new opponents and things like that. And sure, some fresh matchups, but this seems more in the last few weeks like a concerted effort to build the brand of NXT UK. And I find the timing bizarre just because they're putting so much into also rebranding US NXT. So interesting there. I loved that he got the mic time, but I also wonder what it was for, since he didn't specifically go after anybody. It was just kind of a little mission statement. And it almost felt like something was supposed to happen, but didn't, to give him one more match on the way out. But it doesn't appear that's the way it is. It looks like this was just to get people to take a look at NXT UK. But I found it very interesting that he did say, I will see you back here before long. Nate?
So a couple things. That never-ending eye injury was like one of the first things that I noticed when he walked out. So I just thought that was funny you brought it up, because I was definitely going to bring it up if you didn't. I really dug this promo from Ilya Dragunov. I felt like you just said, mission statement, and I feel like it was great. It was absolutely what he kind of like what he needed to do. I felt it was just a great outro for him to kind of leave here, promote NXT UK, and move on. Now, I also did expect somebody to come out at the end of this promo. It just kind of seemed like, you know, when he was right after the promo, he had the belt up over his head, right after he said something like "Long live the Czar," or right after he said that, you know, Walter was Walter had been defeated, or however he put it. He said, "Long live the Czar." The ring general has been defeated, or something like that. I was really expecting when he put the title up over his head, somebody was going to come out, challenge him for the title, congratulate him. Maybe we'd see Walter come out and challenge for a rematch. I was expecting something like that. I'm okay with the fact that it didn't happen, though, because A, it's, we still got Ilya Dragunov on the show, and I'm all for that. But B, I feel like it was a good way of saying, okay, guys, if you liked what you saw, I'm on NXT UK, tune in. So I feel like it was a good, you know, branding opportunity for them, or marketing opportunity for them there. As far as NXT UK goes, it's a little bit of a side tangent here, but going into the rebranding and everything like that, you know, it's certainly something that I started thinking about earlier in the day. You know, I said something to you and Tom, in our Skype chat about, you know, the NXT titles. Like, if there's going to be a new logo, all of the NXT titles, with the exception of the North American title, have the NXT logo front and center, right on the belt, right on the plate. With the logo changing, like, I'm assuming they're probably going to have to change a lot of the belts. Like, the logo's symmetrical, the new logo's asymmetrical. It's going to look weird if they keep a lot of the same belts, the new logo. I'm assuming that also is going to be the case for NXT UK. I don't know why you would keep an old logo and old branding and all of this stuff while also trying to push new branding. I could see the chief marketing officer at my company like absolutely flipping out right now because we just kind of went through a logo change. And if anybody has anything old logo, she goes nuts. I don't know. Just that's kind of been in the back of my head. And just interesting thought. I'm curious to see how it happens. I'm a belt guy. I love belt designs and things like that. So in a way, I'm kind of hoping that there's some new belts. Not that I don't like the current belts, but I just kind of like new designs and things. Getting kind of back on track here, I'm really happy to see Ilya Dragunov back, in NXT here tonight, even if it was just for, you know, like a farewell, goodbye, see you later type of a thing. I enjoyed his match enough where I could see myself tuning into NXT UK. We'll see if that actually happens. But it's not something that I'm normally paying attention to, but I really enjoyed watching him. I really got brought along on his story and his journey here. And I wouldn't mind continuing that.
Yes. Yeah, so the logos in NXT and NXT UK have always been different. So I don't know that they need a new one because theirs isn't the same already.
Same. It's not the same, no, but you still have the giant yellow NXT logo in it.
No. No, you don't. Do you? I don't think you do.
Okay. You do. It's just not – it's vertical. It's vertical going down the middle of the NXT UK logo. So it's still the same.
It now.
It's still the same logo. I'll Skype it to you so you can see what I'm talking about. But there you go. So, I mean, the logo is still there in front and center. It's just the vertical NXT logo. The cup that they've got now, all of their titles, everything. So it's like, this is going to be a really big effort, or it's going to be a half-assed one.
Oh, yeah. I guess now that I look at it, I'm like, what did I think in my head that it looked like? Anyway, Darrell, go ahead.
Okay. And a little homework because I figured when they had him win, they're probably going down the line. Since the UK have a developmental system themselves with, like, progress and all of that, the person who probably going to take that title from Ilya, and they had a match before, and that's probably going to be Car Noir. I know I'm not pronouncing the name right, But if you go on Peacock and look up him versus Ilya, or just on YouTube, you will see the match that you're expecting to come. And I like why they're telling this story with him, because that match is going to be a totally different and unique type of style because of the characters that will be telling the story. So just a little bit of snippet homework if you want to just tune into something and check out something on your side extra time. Now, my second thing that I want to talk about, and that's Kyle versus Duke. Kyle came back to doing the cool Kyle type of stuff. I still say I want to see him go heel. And I think the babyface thing, I've been saying it for the longest, I don't think that can work for him. I think when he started doing that and then he went full cool Kyle and he's still kind of going to it now, kind of messed that up and who he was feuding with and what people wanted. So I like the match, and I see they gave Duke a lot in that match. And I guess they're building Kyle back up for maybe a shot, like a tween person to have a shot at Samoa Joe, not at a takeover or anything, but one of these weeks on NXT. But how did you guys like the match, and what do you guys think about the demeanor that Kyle came out with?
I liked this one fairly well, kind of an old-school babyface coming out, having done something big in the recent past, and so he's got the taped up side and everything like that, and the heel immediately targets it in a vicious way. The only thing that kind of annoys me is that the tape got ripped off during the split screen break, which is too bad because we didn't see that, and that would have been the biggest moment of heat. But I think that Duke does pretty well here in just being kind of a heel bully and a pest and things like that. This went to 11:52. Kyle ends up winning with the heel hook after fighting from underneath for much of the match, much like Tommaso Ciampa. Kyle's demeanor, I think, can work, but they put him behind the eight ball by having him feud with Adam Cole and then get silly during that, which should have been a much more serious feud from the beginning, and didn't do him any favors then. Getting a little silly now with some of these B-level opponents at this point in their careers, that doesn't bother me. So I don't mind that. I think that the Kyle O'Reilly as a face can work. I think straddling the line between cool Kyle and actually cool Kyle can work, because those are two wildly different things. As long as they don't bring back that stupid faux hawk thing he had going on, I think there are things to avoid, but I'm still fairly convinced a babyface run can work. But if it doesn't, then that could be a blessing in disguise, because then he'd be even more likely to be the one to take the belt off Samoa Joe. Nate.
I'm torn on whether or not I think he should be a face or heel. Because on the one hand, I feel like I'm kind of in agreement with you. I feel like it could certainly work. They just kind of need to be a little careful with some of the cool guy things that they do, like that faux hawk or some of the attire that he was wearing. He was like just very almost grunge like or whatever. You know, he's kind of toned that back a little bit. I certainly feel like that. But at the same time, there's always the argument for turning him heel, making him a massive heel if as best you can, and then turning him face again. They'll probably be over more than they were before. So I don't know. I'm a little torn on it. I feel like I think I'm in the camp of having him stay face for now. And like you said, you know, if it doesn't work, they can always turn him heel down the road, you know, and kind of go that way. As far as a match goes tonight here, I actually really dug this. I wasn't sure what I was expecting when the match got announced. I forget if it was announced on the show last week or if I saw it on social media, but whenever I saw, because I knew that it was coming before we went into tonight, let's put it that way, and I wasn't really super jazzed for it. I haven't been able to get really excited about Kyle O'Reilly recently. I feel like the blow off to him and Adam Cole was just, it was okay, but it wasn't what I really wanted. Or what I think we really all wanted. So, you know, I haven't really been super, super high on Kyle O'Reilly. And Duke Hudson, you know, I mean, he's good, but again, he's not like a main event guy or anything like that. So I wasn't super jazzed about it, but they got me in the match. I felt like Duke Hudson, I feel like he's a lot more polished than I gave him credit for. You know, he's obviously been in the NXT system now for years, as Brendan Bank. So he's been around for quite some time to kind of pick things up and learn, you know, learn the paces and everything like that. I felt like he looked pretty good here. Like Darrell said, they gave him quite a bit in the match. He got quite a bit of offense in against Kyle, and obviously that rib injury played into that. So, you know, so there's at least a little bit of a story as to why, you know, the quote new guy is able to take out somebody to the caliber of Kyle O'Reilly, who they consider much higher up the card. You know, he had that rib injury to kind of, you know, knock him down a peg. But even so, he still got the win. I feel like Strong's a different match. Duke Hudson still looked good in defeat. You know, he obviously lost, but he got so much offense in that's saying something to me. I feel like they are putting some stock into him as a heel on the brand, and I hope they do. I feel like you know, he's done a great job with it. He's got some very subtle mannerisms, or he just kind of gets into that character. He gets into that Duke Hudson character, and you kind of buy him as kind of an asshole.
Yes, indeed. I love what he's doing in there from a heel standpoint, and I think that alone will get him a lot of mileage, perhaps even on the main roster. We have a question about Duke Hudson in the long term a little later. Email us at pwtorchnxt@gmail.com. Darrell, go ahead.
Okay. Now, this I'm putting two together. Okay, tonight I thought they were building fuse and building pathways for you can see potential people go. I like what they did with the sit down interview with Kaylee Ray, and I like that she called out so many people, so they gave her a pathway to go before she has to get the title, since you got Raquel Detour as of right now. So I'm liking the slow build that they're building up, and they're getting everybody used to the big heel run of Kaylee Ray, so everybody can understand why I call her she was the number one heel at the time, especially when she was champ. So I'm liking that. And I like the little backstage also confrontation with Carmelo Hayes and Escobar, just something. This could be a quick detour or something, you know, to keep – since we've been getting a lot of hit roll. And versus Legado Fantasma. So this is something that could be a potential detour. And you could think, well, maybe they'll have Carmelo go out the North American title, which I know I was one of the people to think he might go out to Kushida or somebody like that. So it could throw you off there. So different pathways that they offer into a few different people. What do you guys think about those two different things? And what do you guys think about it?
First of all, I want to say Arash Markazi is such a godsend to this show. Like, every time he sits down with a talent, he inspires them to do some of their more interesting mic work. Like, every single time, every week. I really, really, really like what he's bringing to the show in usually a very small amount of minutes per week. But yes, Kaylee Ray, a very interesting talent. I saw a lot of that run in NXT UK, that long championship reign, which, yes, did span over COVID, so that's kind of a cheat, but whatever, that's part of it. And then she's got her budding feud with Ember Moon, cutting a promo on her saying, "You've never faced anyone like me," which, yeah, whatever. Faced a lot of, she's faced everybody everywhere, but they got to say what they got to say. So yes, very excited about what this run is going to be for Kaylee Ray, because every time I say this has got to be the person who ends the reign of Raquel Gonzalez, and at one point I thought it was Frankie Monet, and then I thought it was absolutely Dakota Kai, that has not happened. So maybe after all that, it will be Kaylee Ray after all. I guess I will also talk the Hayes and Legato thing. That was a quick scene, but I like working guys like Hayes into something right away. I like that he's doing some of this stuff before he has to cash in on his championship match. I love that, actually, because if they try to do it too quick, there's simply no – it's just not believable him being the challenger to win a championship that quick. Having him go through some of these hoops and get through a few of these feuds, I think is going to be really good for him. A budding feud with Santos Escobar. Well, budding feud. I mean, a budding match next week. So that should be good stuff, too. So on Kaylee Ray and on the Hayes Legato thing, Nate.
So Kaylee Ray, I really, really enjoyed that sit-down interview. And like you just said, I really enjoyed all of the sit-down interviews that that they've done with McCarthy. He's been I feel like he's been the most real like commentator or backstage announcer or something like that they've had since Mauro. You know, everybody else has been, you know, homegrown talent, if you will. I guess Wade Barrett, you know, maybe not, but, you know, but for the most part, it's all kind of homegrown talent, WWE guys. Yeah, I mean, Wade Barrett's WWE guy, Beth Phoenix, WWE, you know, girl. So it is nice to see somebody outside the company come in and lend their voice to, you know, and their expertise to the product. I think that, you know, they've been doing some great work there. Kaylee Ray was no different. You know, and like Jarrell said, you know, there's a lot of different ways that they could go here tonight with all the different people that she name dropped. Feels like they probably are going to go to Ember Moon first here, where they went to her a little bit later on in the night, and she called out Kaylee Ray for calling her out and, you know, singling her out in particular in her promo. I'm looking forward to it. I'm here for it. Kaylee Ray, she obviously had that dominant run. Yeah, sure, fine. Some of it was through COVID, but whatever. So was Walters. I'm definitely down to see what she can do with the girls here in NXT US. If she's a great talent, and I think it makes the most sense out of everybody on the roster who the next champion could be. I mean, you know, I was with you. I thought it was going to be Monet at first. I thought it was going to be Dakota Kai. Kaylee Ray, you look around the rest of the roster, the only person that even speaks to me is Io Shirai, and she's tied up in the tag division right now. Io and Raquel, obviously that's not a new feud either. That would be returning to that feud. I can't think of anybody else on the main roster right now, with the exception of Shirai and Monet, that are at that caliber. I would have said maybe Candice LeRae, but obviously she's going to be out for, well, I mean, at least a year plus now, you know, with pregnancy. I feel like Kaylee Ray is definitely going to be it. The backstage segment with Carmelo Hayes and Legato, I also dug this quite a bit as well. Carmelo Hayes, he's definitely growing on me. His mic work definitely needs a little bit of work still, but I like him. I like what they're doing with him here. I also thought he was probably going to wind up going for the cruiserweight title, and he still may. You know, they kind of tease that there. You know, what am I going to do? Am I going to do the main NXT title, cruiserweight, North American? We'll see obviously where he winds up there. But I'm really looking forward to this match with Escobar next week. The interaction that they had backstage tonight, you know, Escobar just came off as such a the best word I can use is just drug lord. Just he had that kingpin. Kingpin's a better word. He had that kingpin vibe about him. It was fantastic. He hasn't pulled it off before, but it just, I don't know. I had to commend him for it tonight. He came off really just almost scary. You know, like he comes out and he's like threatening Carmelo Hayes and stuff. He's like, where you do around here, I'll give you a pass. But it was it reminded me very much of like The Godfather or Scarface or something like that. So all for it, all for that. Completely for it. We'll kind of see, you know, with Carmelo Hayes, I still think he's going to wind up challenging for the cruiserweight title personally. But that was coming out of my mouth, I forgot about Roddy and Diamond Mine. So I don't know, maybe not. Maybe he will go for the North American title after all. I can't see him challenging straight for the main title, but I could certainly see him in the North American title scene. The cruiserweight title scene was my first choice, but as I've been talking over the past 30 seconds, I'm talking myself out of it.
Yeah, I've been thinking cruiserweight since the beginning, and I think that can be true whether Kushida or Strong is the champion, but I just thought something was kind of baked in with Kushida because Kushida did beat him. If they want, they could do that challenge first, the Kushida-Hayes match, and then maybe Strong, who has a match brewing with Kushida or has something brewing with Kushida, interferes in a way to cost Hayes his shot at maybe winning the championship. I don't know. That's all getting very main rostery, I suppose. But I'm not saying it couldn't happen. Darrell, if you got one more, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Now, my last thing was, I don't know where they're going with Johnny and Dexter, but, hey, I'm entertained by it. I'm liking what to see the new stuff that they try with these two, and now they added him in it, and our ball couple. I want to see how this go, where this go, and I like the match between him and LA Knight. Pretty good match. I think LA Knight needed that win. He looked like somebody who I might see as a challenger to Samoa Joe out of all those challengers who came out tonight. Looking like it's between him and Kyle. It might be one, then the other next. So I'm really looking at that. And also I want to see what they do with Johnny. How did you guys like the match? How did you guys like the interaction between Johnny and Dexter? And that's it for me.
Thanks, as always, Darrell. Your mid-show main event is LA Knight defeating Johnny Gargano in 14 minutes and 3 seconds. On a show that had 55 minutes and 31 seconds of wrestling action in it. So 14:03 with the BFT. So Knight goes over here when Gargano, after a moment where Loomis saves Gargano a couple of times, because he's trying to get in good with the family, definitely doing like a father-in-law thing here. He tries to share a moment, some sort of kind of like a high five, something with Johnny Gargano, but in a very strange Dexter Loomis way. And it goes awry, and LA Knight gets the win. And then we get the most characterization we've ever seen out of Loomis as his eyes go all shifty when he realizes what he's done. It was a little thing, but God, it looked huge on the stoic face of Dexter Loomis. And this is continues to be by far the best thing that he's been involved in on this show. I too really liked this match. I thought this was, we had somewhat big versus bigger in three different matches, all with the heel being the bigger one tonight. And this one was definitely my favorite of the three. Just good characterization throughout and good counters. I suppose it's not really a surprise that Gargano was in match of the night, but good stuff here. So Knight over Gargano in 14:03, Nate.
And as I said earlier in the night that there was two matches that were up for my match of the night, and this was certainly it. The match of the night, because LA Knight, get it? Ha, anyway, it was terrible. I just had to throw that out there. But no, seriously, I really
now
really
I know it. Now I know why Corbin's whining. He has to listen to that.
No. Corbin's just whining because I've been literally in the basement either working or editing my show or doing this all day. Corbin just wants to go outside and run around. So LA Knight, Johnny Gargano, this was I think probably my favorite match of the night. It very close, if not a very close second with Holland and Ciampa, but I think this was it. I really am digging this stuff with Index. Like it, you know, as I've said before, it was such an eye roller for me at first, and week after week after week, it really grew on me. Tonight, I was all in. I was really all in for it. You know, when they were backstage and they just kind of like, all right, come on, Johnny, just give Loomis a chance, give Dexter a chance. You know, and kind of just wondering, you know, what's going on. And Beth Phoenix says, all right, Index is going to be accompanying Johnny Gargano next. We cut to the match, and you've got the two of them actually accompanying him to the ring. And it was just a lot of fun, a lot of fun. All of the little moments that you kind of called out that Dexter Loomis had in the match, those I think he pulled off great. That weird, like, high five thing that he was trying to do, it almost looked like he was trying to like interlace his fingers with Johnny's or something like that. I don't know what the hell he was doing, but it was cool, it was intriguing, because it certainly wasn't normal like high five or handshake or anything like that. It was like, so Dexter, what are you trying to do to like have a human moment with somebody here? Obviously that was the catalyst that lost him the match anyway. Holland, I forget what he did, if it was a roll up or he actually pulled off a move, but he got the win right off of that. I meant LA Knight. LA Knight got the win right off of that. Oh yeah, with the BFT. So, as you said, the character moment of the bugging out eyes of Dexter Loomis was fantastic. I think that's the most human look we've seen on his face, other than him actually being in a match, because every once in a while he'll be in a match and, you know, the stoicness kind of just falls apart because he's probably thinking about something else or whatever. You kind of see some, you know, of the actual human being there come through. But other than that, that was the first time that we actually really saw any other expression on his face other than just, well, his face. Really did like that. On anybody else, if it was any other character, well, just about any other character, you wouldn't even think twice. But on him, it was a huge deal. And I feel like that – so, like, I've had this thing with Dexter Loomis now where it's like, what is he all about? Is he this tortured soul? Is he this, like, guy who's pretending to be a tortured soul, but he's really, like, dastardly and you know, evil underneath it all? With that one little look, when he did it and how he did it, it was finally kind of made him, kind of got me to think, like, all right, maybe he is just this tortured artist. He means well, and you know, he's just misunderstood, which is the way that they've been portraying him, but I haven't been able to buy that. That one little look, as stupid as it sounds, that one little look humanized him enough to me for me to actually buy into him a little bit more. And this is the first time I've really kind of been high on Dexter Loomis, with the exception of his debut. I liked him for the first maybe 2 or 3 weeks he was on TV. I thought they were going to do a lot of cool things with him. And then it just kind of became very repetitive and old and meh. So this is really the first time in a long time I've actually cared about Loomis and what he's doing. And I'm really hoping to keep on this trajectory. It's funny. It's giving him some more pieces to this character. And of course you can take a character that is serious and stoic and brooding, bring them into some comedy, and you can always bring them back. It doesn't always work, but you can do it. And I think that's probably what will end up happening with him. I don't think he's going to wind up being a comedic act forever, or that's probably not at least his hope anyway. But I don't think he's going to go much further up the card than he is either. But I like the act how it is right now. I can certainly see this being a long build for some massive heat for him down the road if he wanted to use it that way, or if they wanted to use it that way. But yeah, I'm all in. I really enjoy this index angle.
All right, we covered three. We covered the three long matches, and we haven't talked about the four short ones. Two women's and two men's. Let's talk women, and then we'll talk men, and then we'll talk the last few segments. So two singles women's matches this week. The opener, surprisingly, was Saray versus Mandy Rose on a show that usually starts with a bang with one of the longer matches, but this was 6:49, which I guess was the longest of the short matches, but whatever. Saray goes over Mandy Rose by countout. She hits Mandy in the face outside the ring, near the outside of the ring. No, it was outside. And Gigi Dolan and JC Jane drape something over Mandy Rose because she got hit in the face, and then they drag her up the ramp. And later on, Saray gets jumped by Dolan and Jane. So she's not done. Even though she beat Mandy Rose here, she's still not done with this storyline, which, I mean, all I can say is it's good that she's in a storyline, I suppose. I don't like to cut on her more than I have to, but like on a show where there's a lot of talent that's still learning and still like not ready for prime time or anything like that, Mandy still seems like maybe the most amateurish one to me, like in her offense and in her fire, just in her, like if I was watching this and didn't know, but I knew that this was partially a developmental show, I think that I would think she was like one of the newest developmental people. Anyway, Saray goes over, and she's still in this feud, and honestly, I was surprised after Mandy disappeared from TV that she came back. I thought maybe she was done. Raquel Gonzalez versus Jessie Kamea and the other, never called out as non-title exactly, but never called out as title. So non-title is 2 minutes and 42 seconds. Raquel goes over. Kamea, on the other hand, it's clear that the speed's not there, that she hasn't had the reps and things like that, but she's got some very interesting rangy offense. I like a lot of the building blocks of what's there for her, even though she still has to speed it up and still has to polish it to some degree. I think there's really something there, even though some work is yet to be done. And I would love to see where that heads. So on the two women's matches, Nate.
All right. So I'll start with the opener here, Mandy Rose versus Saray. So as Kelly alluded to a little bit ago, usually we start with something explosive and a longer type of a match or some sort of an interesting opening segment or something along those lines. Tonight was not that. The only thing that I'm actually interested in with the Mandy, so between in this match, Mandy Rose and Saray, was Gigi Dolan and JC Jane. I could care less about Mandy Rose. I've never been a fan of hers. She's definitely a pretty face, and she's in the eyes of Vince McMahon, somebody that he wants on his roster. But she's, as you're just saying, she's not the greatest hand in the ring. She's passable, but passable shouldn't be on TV. As far as I'm concerned anyway. Saray, I like Saray, and I feel like she's a lot of potential, but she is not capturing the audience as, like Kairi Sane or Asuka. And, again, I hate to lump them all together, but the WWE is doing that, so it's kind of hard not to also.
Well, and they all have the same hill to climb, so
exactly.
It's fair because they all have that hurdle to overcome. I will say Saray showed way more fire both in entrance and in ring, definitely in ring this week. There was something like if she had come out with this attitude, we wouldn't even be talking about Saray not capturing people.
Yeah, no, and I completely agree. I completely agree with you there, because she definitely seemed to have a little bit more of a chip on her shoulder, if you will, tonight, you know, a lot more fire and passion behind her, certainly. But because of everything else that you know, the other matches that she's had where she hasn't quite clicked, you know, it's hard for me to get behind her. So it's really hard for me to get into the opening match here because I really don't care about Mandy Rose, don't really care about Saray right now. I want to care about Saray, but they don't have me yet. So I did end up giving this a miss in the hits and misses. The only thing that I am looking forward to is what goes on with JC Jane and Gigi Dolin, where they are new to NXT. They're not necessarily new wrestlers, but they're new to NXT. You know, they're new characters. I want to see what their story is and how they develop. I know obviously Mandy Rose is going to be involved there. She's supposed to be, you know, the veteran mentor, I guess, is kind of the way it's coming across, which is odd, but whatever. You know, so obviously she's going to be involved there, but Dolin and Jane, they're the ones I'm really watching here. You know, I said last week that they kind of gave me like early Iconics vibes. You know, and I hope it's not too premature to say that, but that's kind of what I got before they went all comedic and things like that. So I'm curious to see how they end up playing out together. I like the chemistry that Jane and Dolin have together, and I feel like they could actually be a pretty decent act in NXT here. So I'm certainly looking forward to that. The second women's match, and I hate to say it, these were two low points for me on the show tonight. Now, I want to like Raquel Gonzalez, and I've talked about this on the show before. I like Raquel. As a person, I like the wrestler for the most part, but she's not the greatest in the ring. You know, she's still relatively green, and tonight it kind of showed. Same thing with Jesse, but I feel like Jesse looked better than Raquel. You know, Raquel obviously looked more powerful in things. That's how the match is built. But I feel like Jesse looked cleaner in the ring. I'd have to go back and rewatch it, but they got to call it like I saw it. You know, and that's not something that I really want to have to be talking about, is I feel like the jobber here was better than the NXT Women's Champion. Now, that's not to say that I think Raquel sucks. She doesn't. You know, she's definitely a halfway decent wrestler. She's got that presence about her. She's getting better on the mic. I mean, she's got what it takes to be a star, but I feel like without somebody like Dakota Kai in the ring with her, without somebody that has all of that tenure under their belt to help her through a match, it kind of starts falling apart. Now, granted, it didn't fall apart nearly as bad as Nia Jax or Charlotte last night, because what the hell happened there? But it certainly wasn't the cleanest of matches, that's for sure. So, you know, is what it is. I am looking forward to seeing, you know, where Raquel goes from here and where, you know, Frankie Monet takes the Robert Stone brand or the Frankie Monet brand or whatever they're going to wind up calling it. It's intriguing. I feel like if the angle wasn't happening or if it fell off the face of the planet, like tomorrow, I probably would forget all about it, about Frankie Monet and Robert Stone brand right now. And again, I hate to say that because Frankie Monet, great talent, and I feel like she's got a lot that she could do in WWE, you know, whether it be here in NXT or up on the main roster. But right now she's kind of, I don't say toiling around, but she's definitely being underutilized in the role she's in right now. You know, maybe that's to build her up to be something big down the road. I don't know. But I really want to see more out of Monet down the road.
So I definitely thought Raquel was cleaner in the ring than Jessie Kamea, but I can see how you come away feeling the other way, because if you're grading on expectation, I think that Jessie Kamea comes closer to passing the test, because you're not expecting a lot of Jessie yet. And when somebody is the NXT Women's Champion, much is expected, especially given the lineage of that title. But there you go. We also will see Mei Ying in the ring next week.
Mei Ying in the ring.
Yes, it's. I've been very. I'm looking forward to this, but also decrying it in a way. I've been excited for and fearful for it, because there is a level of invincibility and godlike, whatever it is, to Mei Ying, that's going to be dashed once we see her just work a wrestling match. And that was always going to be what it was, because she is a wrestler. But it's just so strange that now we'll see this god lower themselves to, like, trying to win a championship or whatever. So, I don't know. It's a bummer, but I'm also very excited that Karen Q finally gets to do her thing on TV. Two men's matches, Drake Maverick and Grayson Waller against Imperium. That one was early in the show. That went 3 minutes and 7 seconds. They basically telegraphed the finish in the before match backstage interview with Maverick and Waller. So Waller is this hyped up Australian goofball who really, really wants to get in there. And Maverick's trying to calm him down. Beth Phoenix says this is a role reversal with Drake Maverick. And it's funny because it's a role reversal from very recently, but she cannot mention the person that was in the old Drake Maverick role because he was fired. Imperium goes over when Waller tags himself in, even though Maverick has dominated. Waller, real good at taking a lot of bumps. Real tall dude, or maybe that's because I saw him in there with Maverick. I guess I'll have to see him again because Eichner's kind of short and Maverick's very short. So I don't know. But Imperium Bomb finishes Grayson Waller in 3:07. The other match, Ike Minjiro versus Roderick Strong. Strong, largely stale on this brand, even if you have four guys in his corner, should be five. Tyler Russ is gone. But four guys in his corner. And then Jiro wearing a jacket that had a bunch of Ike Minjiro faces on it, which is the most enchanting thing in the world. They didn't explain it. They didn't mention it. They just let us enjoy the moment. Strong, of course, goes over Jiro 4:57, but Jiro gets a lot of his fun, goofy, jacket-based offense in there. This act isn't going to move up the card. I just hope we get a lot of matches and a lot of moments that we get to see him in the meantime. So on these two other matches.
Ike Minjiro is amazing. That jacket, like... I mean, he's already got me anyway. Like, the few other times we've seen him, he's had some just absolutely, like, over-the-top flamboyant stuff going on, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic. The jacket tonight, at first, I don't know why. Now, granted, I do need new glasses. I do have to make a new vision appointment. However, I originally thought there were bananas all over his jacket. I did not think they were his face. It was like halfway through the match, and I got, you know, there was a little bit of a closer shot, and I was a little bit closer to my computer monitor, and I noticed it was his face. I died laughing. Thought my roommate was going to look at me like, or he was looking at me like I had two heads. But no, it was fantastic, or at least the jacket was. The match itself, I mean, I enjoyed it. You know, it wasn't a barn burner or anything like that. It was okay. It was obviously something for Roderick Strong to win here. Diamond Mind is kind of being built around him. And I agree, it should have been built around Tyler Rust. So, you know, there we go. We did see an addition to Diamond Mind in the, what were they? The two brothers there, the Creed brothers. I don't know if they actually named them individually. And I'm sure they actually have names, but they did just call them the Creed brothers on the show tonight.
I have not, I have to get this out there. I have not seen someone look more vacant on a wrestling show in a long time. Like, they're staring, and I think
right?
They were going for intense, but
menacing.
They just
yeah.
looked empty. They just
they
looked
did.
Empty-headed, like there was nothing going on.
They looked like the security personnel that they drag out, you know, whenever they need security or something like that. That's exactly the vibe I got too. I don't think I would have brought it up if you didn't, but you know, or would have thought about it, you know, really much more than I did in the moment. But absolutely, they seriously did look like they just had nothing going on upstairs other than just, hey, let's stand here and look somewhat intimidating. But yeah, so obviously Diamond Mine is being built around Roderick Strong. So, you know, it was, and going up against somebody like Egg Manjiro, yeah, he was obviously going to win. I gave this a lukewarm hit in the hits and misses tonight because it wasn't, it wasn't bad, but it didn't really set anything on fire either. This really was more just a kind of a build for Roderick Strong to kind of call out Kushida right at the end of the match for the Cruiserweight title. Which is fine. I feel like this is exactly what Ike Manjera should be doing right now. You know, great. It's a great act, a great opening act, lower mid card act. I could see him maybe going a little bit higher up the card, but not much. And I think the only way he'd go up the card a little bit more would just be like an organic push. People just like him, so they might be apt to use him a bit more. Then Imperium versus Grayson Walker and Drake Maverick. Okay, so I was happy to see Imperium get a win here tonight. It's been a while since I feel like we've actually seen them get a win. They used to be the most like dominating force in NXT back when, you know, Walter was you know, still, I mean, I guess he's still part of the group, but he'd be seen with the group a little bit more often. He still had Alexander Wolf as part of the company and part of the faction. But, you know, past, I don't know, handful of months or whatever, they've kind of been, they felt more like a jobber team than anything. It's like anytime you see Imperium in the ring, it's like rather than, oh, man, there's going to be some ass kicking. It's up. All right. Well, they're going to lose. It was good to see them get a win here tonight. I feel like they needed it, even if it was against Grayson Walker and Drake Maverick. Obviously, you put Drake Maverick in the ring no matter who it is that you put him in there with, maybe with the exception of somebody like, you know, a giant, like I was going to say the Big Show, but it's not like he's around anymore. But you know what I mean? Maybe Omos or something. You put him in there with somebody like that, you know, maybe he's got a chance, but you put them in there with somebody like Grayson Walker and you start thinking to yourself, no, he's not going to win. He's probably not going to win. And you know, obviously they didn't tonight. Grayson Walker, I think I like Waller. I know. I was even looking at the word Waller, and I said Walker. Grayson Waller, I think I like the act. I got to see him a bit more, but I think I like it. You know, like Kelly said a little bit ago, just that Australian goofball, he kind of came off almost came off like Austin Theory has been recently before he presumably left NXT. Still not sure about that, but we'll find out, I guess, as time goes on. But I feel like that was almost the character's playing, just like a real dumb jockey type goofball. And obviously that came to light during the match. It's what caused the distracted finish and lost them the match after all. I'm intrigued for this because I really like Drake Maverick. I really do. The first time I ever saw him was when he came into the company as Drake Maverick. You know, 205 Live GM, and he was also wrestling, and he was down in NXT as the manager for two big dudes. Wow, I can picture them clear as day, and I can't think of their names. But you guys know who I'm.
My cat got my attention.
What are the Akam and Rezar? What the hell was the name of their tag team?
The Authors of Pain.
Authors of Pain. Thank you. So, yeah, we had Drake Maverick there, you know, with the Authors of Pain and 205 Live. And that was really the first time I was exposed to him. I saw a couple things of, you know, Rockstar Spud on YouTube, but, you know, nothing really to write home about. I'm a big fan of his. I like what he does, not just in the ring, but in front of the camera, on the mic, he's fantastic. He's a great actor. So I was really starting to get a little concerned about what might happen to Drake Maverick, especially since he got released last year and he obviously got his job back. But without his tag team partner, Killian Dane, what was going to happen? So I think this is a good spot for him. They clearly have an idea for this. You know, like you said, Beth Phoenix called out as a bit of a role reversal for him. And I think that this could be a decent angle. I'm into it. I'm intrigued by it, and, I'm fingers crossed it'll be all right for him. We'll see what happens, but, I think I like Grayson Waller.
three other segments. Wade Barrett talked to Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, as always, is awesome. Even if he doesn't have anything to say, you would never know it because he's just so interesting to listen to. Io Shirai and Zoe Stark had a tandem interview with Casey and Caden because they are going to have a championship match next week. So Mackenzie Mitchell talked to all of them. And the long and short of it is Io Shirai doesn't like anyone. Cameron Grimes talked to Mackenzie Mitchell as well. And grizzled young veterans, because it never seems like they figure in quite as much to the championship picture as I keep thinking they should. They storm in on things and start mocking Grimes for losing his championship. And then Grimes pretends to mishandle the other replica million-dollar championship that the grizzled young veterans brought, pretends to mishandle it, drops it on Zach Gibson's foot, and we get probably the most embarrassing moment I can remember on NXT with the really bad thud sound effect and like the little comedy sound. It was no good. It was no good that they did this, and it's too bad that a bunch of talents that I absolutely love were in this scene, because it was it would have been too much on Looney Tunes, that sound effect, but on any of those three backstage things.
All right, so the Cameron Grimes, Grizzly Young Vet stuff, I was there for it until they had it, until that exact moment, the sound effect and the thud and you know everything like that. I'd like to see Cameron Grimes up against Grizzly Young Vets. I just don't know who he'd necessarily be teaming with at the moment, unless they broke, you know, either Drake or Gibson off into a singles feud or something like that. But I'm there. I like that. Cameron Grimes and the Grizzly Young Vets, they all kind of have a similar style in the ring. The Grizzly Young Vets probably a little bit more brutal and strong style, but very similar style. So I feel like that'd be a cool match, whether it be Grimes and one of them just one-on-one, or if Grimes to grab somebody and tag team it. But yeah, I don't have a whole heck of a lot more to say on that. Io Shirai and Tony, I always do that. Tony Stark, Zoe Stark, Casey and Caden. It was an okay segment. I don't really remember. I remember watching it. I don't remember a whole heck of a lot from it. So that
it was
probably
really
not a great,
short. Honestly, yeah. my explanation of it might have been longer than the scene.
Okay, cool. Because I don't remember a whole heck of a lot happening here, really, other than you not liking everybody. But no, I really wish we would see more of Io Shirai and Zoe Stark. I keep forgetting that those belts exist and that they're the champions until that they actually show up on a backstage segment and you're like, oh yeah, the titles are a thing and they have them. If every once in a while, the company brings up, you got to defend your belt within 30 days. Well, they haven't even had a match in 30 days. So I'd like to see them in the ring sooner rather than later. Obviously we'll see them next week. But it just felt like it was a really long and drawn out time to keep them off of TV. And the backstage segments they did were few and far between. And with the exception of that one where they were out to dinner, I don't feel like they were all that memorable. So I don't know. I'm hoping that they get a bit more in this story other than Io just hates everybody. Because it's all four women in the match next week. Casey, Caden, and as well as Shirai and Stark are phenomenal talents. So I'm hoping that this match ends up turning out all right and everything next week. Then the next day, the Joe sit down interview, Joe just comes off as just too cool for school. Obviously he's got the suit on. He had business Joe, just kind of like he did when he came back to NXT. He was working for Regal. He just looked professional. And I like that. I like that about him in this particular run, because he's not being portrayed as a face per se. he's just Samoa Joe. You know, he's like anybody, if anybody gets in front of me, anybody crosses me, I'm going to take him out. Just the way he's always been. Obviously, sometimes he playing a heel, he kind of, you know, dials that up or whatever. But he's just Samoa Joe, and I like that. You get to a certain point in your career that you can do that, and it's good. Obviously, he's being positioned as a face, but it's not like he's doing anything that's overly face-ish. I really like this interview. He came across as a fighting champion. And like I said earlier, I think everything that he's been doing, or that Arash Mekazi is doing, has been great as well. So I'm there for it. I don't think I really have anything else to say in terms of any of these, really.
Email us at pwtorch@gmail.com. This is from Jason from Long Island. Number one, am I crazy or does Roderick Strong's entrance attire and haircut / facial hairstyle give off a serious CM Punk vibe? I hadn't thought it, but I'll look for it next time. Number two, Duke Hudson continues to impress, but does he need to build up his upper body and arms a bit before Vince would consider pushing him? We'll get to Duke because somebody else asked about him. Three, fun fact, Ridge Holland is actually the Queen's English for Mojo Rawley. Okay. So I rather like Ridge Holland so far, and Mojo Rawley's like my least favorite wrestler since the Ultimate Warrior. So,
yeah,
I'm gonna have to think long and hard about that. Number four, I know they didn't want to go up the main roster in the past, and I know Gargano and Ciampa are too small for Vince to care about as singles workers, but what would you think about reuniting DIY to give the Usos, Street Profits, New Day, and the War Raiders a new team to work with? I know personally DIY was one of my favorite acts ever in NXT and would love to see a reunion on the main roster. I could see that. Like, I could see their success existing as a team on the main roster, but I just don't know, like, the rugged, rough and tumble style of Ciampa especially. I just don't see Vince knowing how to use that or maybe he knows how. I just don't think he wants to. Number five, everyone seems to think Adam Cole is a lock for AEW, and I know his girlfriend is there, but to me, it seems a bit crazy to go there now and risk getting lost in the afterglow shuffle of Tommy End, CM Punk, and Bryan Danielson. Have to get used to typing that again. What would you all do if you were in his shoes? Thanks for answering. Stay safe, everyone, and check out NXT 8 years back to find out the answer to the mystery of when Tony Dawson finally leaves. Jason from Long Island, 15-year-plus VIP member. Yeah, Adam Cole. I don't know what he should do. I don't know if what he should do will matter as much as where he can see his girlfriend, because many a guy has made a massive decision based on a girl. I don't know his personality, so I have no idea how much that will factor in. But it will factor in. I think it's nuts if you are a guy with a lot of potential but not obvious number one potential to go to AEW right now. They are employing a ridiculous number of people for a show that only has one brand. It is so easy to be forgotten there right now. I don't know if you're looking to move up a card, it just seems like such a terrible destination. But remember that they are also doing this to make money. And so how far he can get up the card may not matter to him as much as how much money can be made. Because it's easy to say, hey, wouldn't it be awesome if he was the centerpiece of NWA or MLW? But none of that matters if he makes like one-fifth there what he can make in AEW. And I don't know what that breakdown is, but that will factor in. Okay, so we'll cover Duke a little bit later, but Nate, anything on this email?
All right, so are you crazy or does Roderick Strong's entrance attire and haircut remind you of CM Punk? Not really. I guess I could see it, but I feel like it's a bit of a stretch. But hey, whatever. I mean, it's certainly a similar haircut, so if it reminded you of it, it reminded you of it. We'll cover Duke Hudson. Ridge Holland is the Queen English for Mojo Raleigh. No, it's not. Mojo just didn't have anything. I wouldn't say he's like one of my least favorite wrestlers since Ultimate Warrior, but he's certainly down there. He's not anybody that I got behind, and I don't really feel like he was ever all that great in the ring. Ridge Holland, on the other hand, he's imposing. I feel like he probably takes things a bit more seriously than Mojo did. Granted, I don't know much about Mojo, the actual person, not the wrestler. I feel like Ridge Holland has a lot more going for him than Mojo ever did, just in personality as well as, you know, physical ability, in-ring ability. I can't say I necessarily agree with you there, Jason, but to each their own. So Gargano and Ciampa going up to the main roster again. I don't ever think it's going to happen because I don't think they want to. I think they want to kind of finish out their careers in NXT, or at least their WWE careers in NXT. Granted, it may not ever be there. It may not be their choice. They might end up having to go to the main roster or quit, you know, if they don't want to or something. That said, I would love to see DIY reunite. They're one of my favorite tag teams of all time. And, you know, they obviously was kind of a short-lived team, but they were fantastic. I mean, I think they spent more time feuding than the actual team was together. I'd have to look at a calendar, but I think that might be the case. But I felt like they had such a great great showing in that original Dusty Classic, and just their original tag run was phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. I loved it so much, I actually have a DIY tattoo, and I don't get many of those. So I got to say, I like DIY. I'd like to see them on the main roster. I wouldn't say I'd like to see them on main roster. What I was trying to say was I would not mind seeing them in matches with like the Usos, New Day, Street Profits, or War Raiders. Meh. I mean, I'd be okay with it. Actually, War Raiders, definitely I'd be okay with it because Ciampa and Ivar trained together. So that would be a hell of a match because they know they can work together. I'd actually be totally, totally, totally fine with that. I still think Adam Cole's AEW bound. I've been in that camp since we kind of started hearing that his contract's expiring, especially after I heard his stuff about him talking about his Twitch streams not going down. He's never going to take it down. I don't think that's going to be something he'd be able to do if he stayed on the main roster WWE. That doesn't mean he won't re-sign with NXT, because apparently he can have the Twitch and stay in NXT. But I don't feel like he's got a whole heck of a lot left to do in NXT right now. He's kind of done everything. Sure, they could maybe take him off TV for a little bit, have him come back and challenge for a title, or put him in some big story feud or something like that. But I don't feel like there's a whole heck of a lot for him to do there. I feel like he's probably kind of wanting to go to AEW, A, to be with his girl, and B, to be with his buddies. I mean, you know, he's got the Bucks and Kenny and all that stuff there those are all his friends, his guys. Like, not that he doesn't have friends in WWE, but I don't know. And on top of that, if you're Adam Cole and you're thinking, you know, and they're talking about bringing you up to the main roster, the things going through your head about what other people have gone, like some of the other failures have gone, not everybody's been a failure that's gone up to main roster. I don't want to say that as a blanket statement, but there certainly have been. And on top of that, you don't get the same creative freedoms that you do in NXT, or at least did in NXT. So going up to the main roster, he's going to end up being kind of pigeonholed into Vince's vision as opposed to being able to be more of himself. I don't know. I don't know if he would necessarily be for that. I feel like he's kind of the type of a guy that wants to have a bit more creative control of what's going on, not to like Hulk Hogan or Kevin Nash type levels of creative control. But you know, a little bit of say what's going on with his character. And I don't feel like he'd have that, in up in WWE main roster. So I don't know. I would be very surprised if he re-signs with NXT, especially since the memo that there was an internal memo that came out allegedly that said, you know, Adam Cole is no longer with the company. You stop promoting him and things like that. He is, as at least as of before we started this podcast, I checked to see if he was still listed on the roster page, WWE.com, and he is. So there's that. But I don't know. I'm kind of in the, like, leaning 70% AEW, 30% would be back in NXT, and might be even be conservative. Might be a little more towards AEW for me. Let's see. The only other thing that I wanted to say was what you said at the very end of your thing there. You know, is it's really all about money. If he can go into AEW, and you know, and granted, I don't know what his aspirations necessarily are. If he wants to be the guy, or he just wants to be one of the guys. But if he goes in AEW and he can be, you know, a top player and make a heck of a lot more money than, or at least comparable money to what he was making in NXT or would on the main roster WWE, like, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily a bad move for him. Selfishly, I'd love to see him stay in NXT. But, you know, as I've said before, people leave NXT, we can watch him elsewhere.
Kevin Catani emails us, salutations, gents. I hope all is well in podcast land. I was entertained by tonight's episode. I loved the index bit. Ike Manjiro is a guilty pleasure, and the main event was one of the harder hitting matches I've seen in a bit. I'll stop here for just a second, Mr. Catani. Ike Manjiro is a fantastic act, and there should be no guilt in that pleasure.
Yeah.
I'm dead
serious. Guilt.
No
I
guilt.
I was gonna say it if you didn't, so...
As the storylines continue to develop and we await the NXT reboot in the coming weeks, what is the best way forward for the brand? As much as we've heard of the new edicts being passed around from on high, our KG veterans, Mr. Ciampa and Mr. Gargano, are prominently featured and seem to still be pillars of the promotion. What is your best guess for what we're about to see in the coming weeks? Thanks as always, and go VIP. Office hours are now over. The Professor, Kevin P. Catani, PhD. My guess is we're going to see more of what we're seeing. Color will change. Aesthetics will change. I don't think anything else will change other than, as Darrell was saying earlier, recruitment. Our last email comes from Jared Buhager. Hey, team, it's JB from Detroit. Now that the breakout tournament has concluded and we've had a few weeks where some of the participants that didn't win had the opportunity to have other matches, what participant do you think has the most potential? To me, it's Duke Hudson. He has the size and look, the charisma. He's pretty smooth on the mic, and he has actually had the opportunity to have some main roster seasoning. As always, love the show, and go VIP. I almost said VHS. Don't go VHS. That was that's dead technology, folks. I too believe that it's Duke Hudson for sure. I think that he has the largest amount of main roster potential, and maybe just the most potential in general. Hayes has grown on me, but I think in a big setting in the main roster. Hudson's complete package is probably going to be more successful. Now we've been wildly wrong on this before, but not because they didn't have potential. It's more because they underutilized, let's say, Aleister Black. But yes, I would say Hudson probably, but you've got, I don't know a lot about Briggs. I haven't seen a lot of Briggs. So even though a lot of people are really high on him, I just haven't seen nearly enough ring minutes to feel like I can make that kind of call. Nate.
I mean, I just say if Tyler Rust is gone, we're going to just take all the belts, put them on Ike Manjiro, call it a day. So as far as, let's see, the breakout tournament, I think Duke Hudson's probably it. I'm looking at the bracket right now. And out of everybody that is listed, Duke Hudson, I think has got the greatest, he's kind of got the whole package. He's got the good look. He's got a great gimmick right now. And he knows how to work that gimmick. The other person that kind of springs to mind is Odyssey Jones. Now he's green. But I feel like, I feel like he's somebody that Vince would absolutely get behind. From what I hear about him, I mean, he seems like an absolute sweetheart. So, like, I feel like he's also somebody that they'd be able to work with really well and kind of develop him a little bit more. He, you know, I've said it on the show before. I've said it in the hits and misses. He reminds me of a cross between Keith Lee and Mark Henry. You know, but he's not quite polished yet. I feel like he has the potential to get there and be that crossover, but he's not quite there yet. But I feel like with some, you know, some polish and stuff, I feel like he could certainly do it. The charisma that just oozes off of that guy, that smile, million-dollar smile, I really feel like they could do something with him. But if we're talking about who's already there, who's already polished, who's already packaged and ready to go, out of everybody there, I'd say it's Duke Hudson. You know, Ike Manjiro, and I'm not even saying this jokingly, I mean, he's also fleshed out and polished, but that's not an act that's going to be, you know, a championship material. That's an act that's going to be comedic, mid-card, lower mid-card, something like that. Other than that, there really isn't anybody that stands out. Carmelo Hayes, I feel like he'll probably have a halfway decent career in WWE, but he feels very Peach Schwartz John Cena. You know, when John Cena first got first debuted, just very creator wrestler. You said that, you know, weeks ago. You know, I still kind of get that in terms of his look and him on the mic, things like that. Very creator wrestler, but I feel like he's got a lot of potential, and he's definitely the type of personality and in-ring performer that NXT, more specifically WWE, is looking for.
All right, folks, that is our show for August 31st, 2021. We're just 2 weeks away from the first wedding on NXT ever, as far as I can remember. I'm Kelly Wells. I'm your host, and you can find me all over social media at Spooky Milk or Spooky Milk Games, Nate.
At Nate Lindberg on Twitter. I do the hits and misses for NXT, which I'll have up on pwtorch.com for you guys at some point before tomorrow afternoon.
And go VIP, then you can listen to NXT 8 years back. I have a blast doing that with Tom Staupe every week. We will be recording that tomorrow, as soon as, assuming he is not feeling overly sick, and we'll have that up Saturday. So that is it, folks. We will see you in 7.
Shut up, Kelly.
I think that got like half on it.